I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you and to worship with you. Last Sunday we were at the Blue Mountain Congregation in Oregon, and it was had a great time with them as well. I appreciate so much what we've heard already this morning. Feel very well fed in a lot of ways. I appreciate what our Sunday school hour and what Brother Joseph shared with us in the opening. And in some ways, I feel like what I'm sharing here is a bit of a counterpoint. You made a point of focusing, not focusing on polar bears. And I'd like to, and appreciate the things that were shared there and that. That's very true. We become what we focus on so many ways. Appreciated so much too that song, "A Sweet Hour of Prayer." Recently, I've just been enjoying listening to that, and there are several of our song groups that do that very nicely. Anyhow, sitting up here and listening to you all sing and singing along, it's just sounded extra beautiful this morning. So, trust that was coming from your heart. But this morning, as we stand on the threshold of a new year and we look back at some of the highlights of 2015 and we look ahead to what's ahead of us, we don't know what all is ahead. Some of us maybe have some ideas of what we want to do this year. And I don't know if you're in the habit of making New Year's resolutions. It's not all bad. But certainly we need to be focused on more than just ourselves. But just to give you opportunity for sharing here a little bit, what are some of the highlights that we experienced here individually or corporately in 2015? Sometimes when we open it up like this, we have a lot of things. Nothing happened this past year that was of any significance. Well, I'm sure there were a lot of things that happened, and some things are definitely more on the private nature where you don't want to blurt it out, you know, but you know, there's some very special things that happened this past year. And we look forward to some very special things in 2016. But, you know, this will be a memorable year for many of you, some of you at least. But we're always, it's common for us to be surprised at time. And one of the things that I've read in the last year or so that C.S. Lewis says that the reason we are surprised at time is the fact that we are made for something bigger than that. We're made for something bigger. But life passes. I read an interesting little story yesterday, more on the lighter side, that I thought was interesting. And that was that a couple that had been married for 60 years, a wife suddenly got ill, and the doctor said she's not going to recover. Well, she had in her closet a shoebox that she told her husband never to open. And so this is now the time to open that toward the end of life. And so he brought it out, and she opened it and showed what was inside. And inside was two little doilies and a whole stack of money, $25,000. And he was just he just couldn't believe what he's seeing here. And he says, "What's this?" And she said, "Well, her grandmother told her in order to have a happy marriage that she should never argue with her husband and that she should just go crochet a doily or something." And so he looked at these two little doilies, and he thought, "This is great. I've just made her want angry twice in my life." And so he said, he just couldn't believe it, that this was so good. And so he said, well, what's all the money? And she said, well, that's what I got for selling the doilies. So it wasn't quite so good after all, was it? But you know what? That's a little bit more like real life. It takes a lot of living, and it takes a lot of forgiving, and it takes a lot of life to make life. I read another story in this past week that was very interesting. This person living in Michigan, she was a social worker, single, had a couple of children, but she needed her car repaired. And so she went to the dealership, and it was an important repair, and it needed to be done. He advised her that she do not drive home with that car the way it was. But it cost $800 to fix, and she did not have the money. She had prayed before she went. She said, Lord, you know, my hours are cut, and I don't have the money, but somehow you'll have to take care of this. Well, when she was there, she explained to the service manager that she did not have the funds to pay for that. And someone heard her say that. And they went to the service manager and said, I don't know the story about this lady, but he said, I'll take care of the bill. And so they went ahead and fixed it, and it was $800, but the dealership cut it down pretty much. They cut it almost in half, and this stranger took care of the bill. And they didn't do it for any prestige or honor for themselves, but they just wanted to pass it on. They said, someone has given this to us, and we would just like to pay it forward. And so, of course, this affected the recipient very well, the lady that was getting her car fixed. She just could hardly believe it. But the really interesting thing is that service manager said, I've worked here for 50 years. And that has never happened before. You know, one of the things that's going to be important for us in life, and that is that we do good deeds. Now, good deeds can be an end in itself. You all know that. But that's an important part of us. There was another person, a very similar situation in Louisiana this past week as well. Again, a car needed fixed. Single mother, and no money to pay for it. And the mechanic himself took it on himself to just zero out the bill. And it just overwhelmed this person. And how effective is it to do something like that for somebody that that needs it? You know, those of us, life is short enough, you know, at best. Life changes quickly. Some of you can remember 60 years ago, some of you older men and ladies, and remember that 60 years ago, this month, was the time that those five missionaries in Ecuador were killed. Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Roger Udarian, two others, Pete Fleming, one more. Can't remember his name right now. But those men were there to reach the Auca Indians. And they had made a lot of advances, but with some faulty information that the Indians had, they came and killed them when they came to try to speak to them. But Jim Elliott is often known for this quote that he liked to share. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And we know that in their life. It was a very short time afterwards that Elizabeth Elliot went back with her child, and they lived with the Aucas for a couple of years, and right with these killers that had killed her husband. And many of them were saved and brought to the gospel because of that, because of her sacrifice. So in spite of the fact that Jim was not there, there was that work went forward in a very definite way. 30 years ago, and more of us remember this, there was a great big tragedy in the space program. The Challenger blew up. Probably all a number of us that were at least 40 remember that. We were living in Mississippi at the time, and I remember we were just in the process of finishing our house, and the guy that was laying the brick told me, and he had just heard it, and it was really something. There was a school teacher that was on board that time, and they had the television cameras were wired to the schoolroom there, and everybody was watching. And it was just 73 seconds after blast off that thing exploded and all the crew died. That was 30 years ago, and that was a big backset and the space and their program there. They may have learned a few things, but time passes. And so that's the thing I want to focus on this morning. Time passes, and we need to make our time count for God. I'd like to read Psalms 90 and focus especially on verse 12. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice, and that we may be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How can we number our days? We don't know how many days we have. So how is it possible to actually number our days? I'd like to share a story with you of a man that discovered how to number his days, kind of. And the story is called 1040 Marbles. This man was 55 years old, and he figured if he lived to be 75, he would have approximately 1,040 more Saturdays to live. And he was pretty much in a rut. He would do the same thing every Saturday. And so this time he decided he was going to actually watch this. And so he went and he bought a whole bunch of marbles, 1,040, and he put them in a glass jar where he could see them. And then every Saturday he would take one of those marbles out, he would carry it in his pocket for the day, and then he would throw it away at the end of the day. And eventually, he got down to the very last one. Before he got there, though, he would do something. He would try to do something worthwhile that day. Instead of just spending the day for himself, he would do something for somebody else. He'd just a random act of kindness. And but when he took that last marble out, and he was telling this story to a younger man, a much younger man. He said, "You know, this has made me feel thankful for life. You know," he says, "I'm living beyond my allotted time." And he wanted to just work and just be thankful for what he had, and to have an attitude of praise and blessing to other people. And you know, the things that he was doing before was perfectly normal for people, but for a Christian, an attitude of service is something that is going to make our life worthwhile. So he took this last marble out and just gave him a good focus on life. You know, here he's out, and we don't know how much time we have. Some of us may have 100,000 marbles left in our thing, but many of us don't. And when we focus specifically and on a tangible thing like that, we know that the time that is given us is perfect and important. And there's a sense of urgency about that, and that's what he received from that. He received a sense of urgency of how to do the things that are important, whether it meant to forgive a grudge, whether it meant to tell somebody that they loved him, whether it meant to do a random act of kindness, whatever it meant. He was focused on the fact that this is important, and he did it. And so that was just one way of numbering our days. And you know, it works out sometimes to simple math. Our attendance this morning is 155. And there's a lot of little children here that wouldn't apply. But, you know, if we would take 50 adults and be committed to do two acts of kindness that are not normal, I mean two acts of kindness every day, every week rather, every week, and recruit those two people that would receive them to do two as well, how far would it go? And it's just absolutely amazing. You have 50 people one week, you have 100 people the next week, and you have 200 people the next week, and then 400, and then 800, and then 1,600. And by the time you get to half the year, which is the first week in July, it is 3,355,443,200. That's about half the people of the world, isn't it? You know, just 6 months, take a group of people. Doing two acts of kindness a week. Just think of what kind of difference that would make in the community. Even in our church group, you know, what kind of difference that makes when we're focused on doing what is right because it's right, because it glorifies God, and make it that way. Teach us to number our days. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what Jesus said, and when he gave the Great Commission, he said, teach them what I taught you. Teach them, disciple them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here is what he's saying. Let your light shine. Not that they want to praise us, but that they glorify God. In another part, he says that Peter talks about living a life that when God visits them, they will be able to recognize this work as God. Paul writes in Timothy, he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And that is all a matter of how we live. And I just read just a small part of the book that Gary Miller wrote, The Other Side of the Wall. And we living in America are very privileged, blessed. We have a lot of responsibility with that blessing. And that's what he's saying here. I'd like to read Paul's farewell address in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy 4, we have a lot of, Paul speaks a lot on how to work in a number of his epistles. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. And then Timothy and Titus talk a lot about that. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So Paul was practicing what he preached in a lot of ways there too. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have Paul's farewell address. I don't know if Paul was in the dungeon at this point or not, but he is writing this letter to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men have forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and shall preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but but Trophimus have I left in Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. The thing that I think is outstanding in this chapter, Paul gives his own personal testimony of having fought a good fight. He has said, I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, and he's looking forward to that crown of righteousness and to being with God in glory. But then he tells him in a very material way, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And when he tells him to come shortly, he also instructs him with some things that he wanted. And these are very earthly things, very material things. He wanted a cloak. He was probably cold in that prison. He wanted books, and he wanted parchment. And many of his letters that we have today were written from prison, so you know, he needed the parchment to write those. He needed books to read his mind, and he needed that cloak to keep him warm. But we don't have any record that Timothy ever actually delivered that. And Paul says, do thy diligence to come shortly. And then in verse 21, he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. And from our records, we can't tell that Timothy made it before winter. It's also interesting to see that he tells him to bring Mark with him. And that really warmed my heart when I realized that, you know, this is the Mark that he did not want to take with him on the journey at one point. But we can sense in here that there is a time when we can do these kind of things. And he says, do that diligence to come before winter. He no doubt needed some of those things, needed his cloak. But maybe we don't have any record that Timothy made it, and so we don't know how it came out. But we do know that Paul was executed by Nero and probably could have been very shortly after that. But there is an urgency in the passing of time. 1 year passes and the next. Unless we make a focused attempt, our days will flow together to where it doesn't make any difference. But it can. We have the opportunity to make a difference in how we can. Someone recently asked a group of people what kind of verses that they learned in school, if they can remember scriptures that they learned in school. And, you know, we could ask you this morning, how many of you can recall scriptures that you learned in school? And then they asked him, how many can remember verses that you learned in Sunday school? And almost none remembered the verses they learned in Sunday school versus almost everybody remembered some they learned in school. What's the difference? The difference is focus. It's time. When we learn in school, we repeat those and we say them again and again. When we learn them in Sunday school, you know, some of you maybe don't like memory work, and so we learn it just enough to get by, just enough to say it one time, and there's not a focus there. And so it's easily learned, it's easily forgotten. That's the way it is for me. I can learn something very easily and forget it very easily too. But if I focus on it, it's going to stay. And you need to focus at least 8 seconds on every little word, and you can remember it. 8 seconds isn't that long a time, but it is long if you're just going to look at it. But you can do it with a focus there. Well, focusing is one of the things that's important to set priorities right. We need to have a focus on a certain amount of time, and we can do that. So This year, as we look into the future, focus on what is important. What is important? You know, certainly our walk with God is important. But what is our walk? That's not just inclusive. That's not just one thing, but it affects every area of life. It affects our relationships with our families. It affects relationships with our neighbors. And it goes out from there. And so stating that as a goal is not enough. Just to let it there unless it's focused on and work. Again, we do what we focus on, and it can be to the good or to the bad. As you know, again, I think this is somewhat of a counterpoint of what Brother Joseph was sharing. If we focus on something negative, we'll become like that. But if we focus on something positive, it can be a part of our life as well. Paul's request to Timothy that he says it's very interesting that he tells him what to bring, and then he again exhorts him at the end of the chapter there to please do that diligence to come before winter, showing us that time is going to fly away, and it's going to it's not going to be in our time to choose whenever how that's going to happen. I'm trying to find this song that we often sing. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Maybe we could sing a verse of that right now. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Okay, I trust that the God that kept us through this year will keep us into the year to come. Let's praise and worship Him. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.